Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. This is the point at which we go up until 12:30 for the latest. And remember, you can call on 434-1790. You can email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com, or you can WhatsApp us at 266-IVOB. And guess what? I have an email. This is one that came in a while ago, and it was unfortunately not read previously. Person is Nosy Bajan Inquirer. Despite all the education and computers and devices that are in Barbados, the advent of COVID-19 has proven that Barbadians are not as computer literate as they may appear to be. They are social media literate. A man of Glynn's stature should have seen this information all over the internet in the past months. It just strengthens the view that computers and internet are being wasted in Barbados. Well, Nosy Bajan Inquirer, I'm assuming that Glynn's references to the flattening of the curve was just hypothetical. He was not saying that he did not know. He was saying perhaps one may want to know. So to his defense, let's be clear in that regard. Philip writes, Peter, although I disagree with the policy and the discussion, it is by no means a condemnation of the government. Indeed, it is far from it. Listening today has become really quite depressing. What is sad about the realization that most are not informed about monetary macroeconomics and go about analyzing macro positions through microeconomic lenses? The individual and institutional experiences do not inform the macroeconomy. Fallacies of comparison abound. Mike Howard, on whom I sometimes cry fault, could not be more correct this time. It is truly a saddened state. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
How yes, sir. You? I'm good. Good to hear you.
I was also going to comment on Glynn's dissertation this morning because I've listened to many or all the press conferences there were so far, and they all regurgitate the same thing over and over again. Perhaps Glynn need to come out to retirement and either carry on some courses to tell the journalists how they should ask questions, or that he should go and ask some questions himself when those press conferences come, because the kind of answers that he's seeking to find out are not the questions that are being asked by the journalists. The journalists only want to know numbers, and every day on every radio station in Barbados, nearly, they bring over all the numbers, who's sick, who get in, who out, who, whatever. So I think that is one challenge that he has. The other one that I want to come up with is There's lot. You know, Barbados and 9-day wonder society. You had the over the airport, the squatting, not the natural death so far. You had sargasm seaweed, probably not the natural death. You had and my boy Wesley always come out yesterday. He said the exactly same thing that he said to David yesterday about Steve Blackett, who's my good friend, to you today. If you don't have anything to say, don't say anything. But I want to find out from you if there's any word out yet from the union in terms of the four-hour meeting they had yesterday, and the one that's the country and probably today. What are the ingredients? What is on the table in terms of, are they going to take away increments? Are they going to deal with people from the bottom to the top? What nobody seems to know yet. What has happened behind those closed doors outside of the people who are in those meetings. So when we get out here, we say that this thing about the meeting turn, and all we can hear is about the meeting turn, or what it is, but nobody, we need to know, when you're cooking, when you're doing a recipe, you have to get the ingredients.
It's fairly clear that there are quite a few of the ingredients that have not been made public yet for obvious reasons. Yeah. So I guess in due course they will come out and we can see whether it is a pie worth eating.
Yes.
Whether a macaroni pie or a cassava pie.
Right. You got to say if you're going to say it or if you're going
to accept it.
Right.
Agreed.
We just put it up in mud. We need to hear from the union or from the government itself, how are they planning to go about it and give us all the information that is necessary to make a judgment on what we should be doing or what we shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. But to come out and say, like you're the historian, I got to start referring to him, then one looks at the whole question of, and Alvin always come out talking about the sewage plant, regurgitating again. The point I'm making is that we need to look at things very carefully. Are we better off since COVID start, or are we worse off? About 40,000 people out on all the hotels closed down. About 40,000 people out of work. So there's a lot going on. Yeah. And to say that, our very thesis is that the money, because something started in January, this thing started from all the way back in January. They didn't start building the North Point Surf Resort, to host those people, stop them from going to the hospital by way of the magic wand. They had to get money to do it. And therefore, that money that was done something else went into that project. So therefore, these are the kind of things we have to look at and really come to grips with these things, because these are uncertain times. And all we have to know, you're not a, I believe you're a God-fearing, but because you were brought up in church, but we have to look to God for some help. And the help coming from those who help themselves. So we may have to, those persons in the public service or those persons, other business, when all everything is said and done, then they will determine whether or not they would put their hands to the plow. As they say, we are all in it together. Yeah. I would wish that the people around this country start getting and don't behave like the people in North America, where they're saying that it's a free country. And I hear some of that foolish talk in Barbados, and we can do as we like. They can't do as you like, because you've got to be a brother's keeper. You've got to be looking after me, and I've got to be looking after you, because you don't know if I got it, and you don't know if you got it.
All right.
So, I rest my case. Have a blessed day, my brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, sir. It was good to hear from you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
I am one who's been schooled in the old adage of Barbadians. And one of them says that if you walk like a duck, look and look like a duck, it's a duck. Quack like a duck, it's a duck.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to suggest from the outset of my contribution today that the term given to this salary cut, for sale, they call it, for save, is nothing more than a salary cut. I want to contend that. Because what it redounds to at the end of the day is a taking away of some of the earnings of a worker to set aside for what they deem as savings. So the government now is in the business of forcing Barbadians to save. And I want to actually question, are workers in Barbados in a position today to have anything to save? I saw a report coming out of the United States recently, since the COVID, that was quite shocking. And it basically said that the almost 60% of Americans, average Americans, did not have any savings. And if that can happen in the great United States with all of its capital, I find it strange that Barbados, who've been going through some economic recessions, certainly within the last 10, 12 years, that Barbadians are still left with the ability to have massive savings. Coming out of the government's...
Massive savings?
Savings of any significance.
Right. Okay, carry on.
These are the same workers that would have faced the greatest hammer in government's program. These are the ones who were not only retrenched, but these were the workers who had to face all of the increased taxes. So they've been already hammered. I look at a group and correspondence to them that has enjoyed government's policy, economic policies, programs since the election. We've had a private sector that's had corporation tax slashed from 5 to 40%. We've had them removed NSIL. They've had that written off. They've been able, they've lived well. I would believe that if this government is truly looking for an opportunity in which all of us can really say that we are in this together, that we would leave the workers out on this occasion and we would go across to that group. Because basically what government is trying to do is to take money through these savings, which will form part of their revenue, and then they're going to do this very ugly thing. They are going to turn this money over into the hands of the construction magnates to build out our capital works program. That's what they basically said, that the money's saved, being collected as a result used to push capital works program back in the hands of those who have already enjoyed all kinds of tax ease. That's unfair. In my estimation, that is unfair. I see nothing wrong with this group who must now be the ones responsible for building out government's capital works program. And I believe they're in a very good position to go to the banks. The banks are now liquid. Nobody to borrow their money. But go to the bank, accept the contract from government to build the project. Go to the bank, get the loan from the bank, and build the project. And when government finds itself in a position in which it can now start to repay, it repays the construction firms with an interest or with bonds if they want to. But why ask a group that has already paid all or if not most of the sacrifices that could have been borne under the Burke program, why now ask them to do it for COVID? It is unfair. Can I say that is a reasonable position to put? And I would hope that the unions are sitting down and looking at this realistically. Because if they are satisfied in their mind that workers can carry any more burden, then there is something that they know about workers in Barbados that I do not know. And if I am in a scenario in which I am hearing private sector cry out as loud as they are, but I could only expect that the workers must be crying louder. And these are the realities that are in our country. And we must be fair.
They got a phone call, man.
Well, I'll get to them in its due course. I'm glad to know that you are sharp and you're paying attention.
What I wanted to ask you was very simple, because you dealt with one side of it. You dealt with the financing of this building out that we're speaking to, which is supposed to create some employment. But what I want to ask you about is you want to identify yourself?
That's not necessary.
Okay. All right. No problem. Government estimates that the shortfall in terms of their salary, their wages component, revenue versus expenditure, is going to approach $100 million, right? That was a figure that I heard today. How do you propose that government finances this deficit?
No, to start with.
Short to medium term, not even considering the long term. How do they finance it?
I believe desperate situations require desperate measures. And I believe that government has been having some shortfalls in their revenue for a number of reasons. I just mentioned a couple. I never believed that NSRL should be removed. I don't believe that we should have followed any international requirement for bringing corporation tax to 40%. I don't believe we should have been writing off that for companies that picked it up and did not pay it in.
I understand, but I'm talking about the COVID-related shortfall.
Yeah, I'm going to go to that now,
right. Please, we don't have a lot of time, man.
No problem. I would expect I wouldn't be given much time. I've at least asked as much as is possible.
Use it wisely, because we're going to the news shortly.
No problem. But let me go straight to the question asked.
Please.
If government wants to find ways to make a big shortfall, I think the first thing government should now do is simply go to those the oil companies to say, look, from here on, the oil purchase will own oil. Government will no longer have to look for $1 billion to purchase oil every year for them to sell. I am certain that Leighton Power would gladly do that, and I'm certain that Sol is in a position to go to the market and purchase their own oil. Take government out of that.
How much money does government generate? How much revenue does government generate from that BNOC arrangement?
Government can still they sell the oil eventually to these people and they make the money off of it.
Eventually, of course.
You can still collect revenue from oil from the persons who drive on the road.
Because my question is, if it is that I don't have to use my money and you can go and buy oil on the international market, then instead of buy it directly, why you need to get BNOC involved? So then government would just lose all the revenue it would have generated from selling the oil to oil companies and they would just buy it themselves. They would be glad.
But what I'm saying...
But I don't see the benefit in that to government, because you're losing revenue.
But you're going to gain it back when the oil comes in and it's being sold. But right now government is earning a massive...
Yeah, but you're gaining that too. Could you earn a revenue when you buy it and sell it off, and then you earn a revenue from VAT and so on that is collected when you make profit? So it's better to double dip than to single dip.
You're going to find yourself...
You never had to do a double dip?
Government is now in a position where it is looking for...
Oh, but this person calling you all the time, so tell the person you have important business to conduct.
The government is looking for money right now to carry out its program. It doesn't have it.
Sir, we ain't dealing with that. We ain't dealing with that. I'm talking about where are you going to fit this shortfall to raise the $100 million that is needed in the short to medium term to finance salaries. You've already said that one saving can be not taking that money that you were using to buy oil, let the oil companies buy it themselves. I pointed out to you that that also means that you will lose potential revenue from the sale of those products. If, however, you're saying that is it, then where else the rest of this money can come from? And that's what you need to focus on in the 3 minutes we have remaining.
When we were faced with 9/11, one of the things that Prime Minister Arthur did from the outset was to get into the Buy Local program to reduce government's ability to cut down its food import bill. Are we bringing a lot of luxuries into this country?
Sir, focus. We are dealing with a shortfall in revenue for the public sector to pay public sector salaries. Focus on that and tell me how we're going to solve that problem. You've given me one saving, and I'm asking you if there are other ways that we can find the money that government was going to use to basically from cutting the salaries that they don't have to pay people.
Well, look, for immediate and short term, go towards the printing of money. I have no problem with that. That's a local debt that can be dealt with in the short to medium.
So you prefer printing of money than to force savings?
I prefer that.
As opposed to force savings?
Because what you're going to do with force savings now, you are going to dampen consumer spending. To dampen consumer spending means that you're going, the very products and things that you're talking about bringing in, who's going to buy them?
Let's be realistic. We are under International Monetary Fund program, and one of the key things we have said we will do under IMF is that we will stop printing money, or we will reduce it to the absolute minimum. And you're saying that we should finance a deficit approaching $100 million on the basis of printing money for the short to medium term. So we should continue to print money in the next 2 to 3 years?
It cannot be any 2 to 3 years.
15 months. We're going to print money for 15 months?
But you see, you're talking about one side of the IMF program. We were also supposed not to be borrowing too. And we borrowed almost $3 billion in 2 years. And we continue to borrow.
No, but we're looking at proposals that you are making, you know, alternative proposals that you are making. So you've made two. One is that you said we're going to let people buy their own oil. And the second one, and that has revenue implications. And the second one is that you're saying we should print money. So you feel that the better solution to forcing people to save is to print money for the next 15 months. Agreed?
I am going with printing of money. It doesn't have to be 15 months.
But it's 15 months because it's 15 months that they're going to cut the money for, so...
But you're doing this in conjunction with other revenue-saving mechanisms. You're not just going to only look at...
You care to mention any of the other revenue-saving mechanisms?
Well, I've gone through some of them already.
You just mentioned the oil?
No, I didn't. I said that government has to move now towards insurance, and the other option, as I said, was available is for, rather than going now the route of taking away public servants' thing, is to let the construction companies that are going to be doing this construction work for government, carrying out government's project, let them go to the bank and get the money from the bank. Mm. You don't have to touch public servant salaries if you allow them to go to the bank. Why should I take money from work and put it in the hands of the private sector? Why? That's not fair. You are taking from people who least has it to give to put it in the hands of the private sector, for whom you have just written off 40% in corporation tax, taken off NSRL, you've written off the VAT that they collected they didn't pay. You have given them millions of dollars to play with.
So ask back for the money now.
To be able to go into the bank and be able to secure some of that liquidity that the bank now has. Now is the time for all of us to play a part. Right. The bank gets to play their role, the private sector gets to play their role, and the workers have already been playing theirs.
Fair enough, sir.
Thank you.
We agree to disagree, but you know, this program is about that, eh? And we've had a managed disagreement over the past few minutes. Interesting perspective. I am not sold on the idea, but you know, I mean, we could print money to get ourselves out of this problem. Just print it, you know. It sounds like a Trumpian response to a crisis. You have a bill to pay, print the money to pay the bill, you know. That's it. That's how it works. Interesting call, though. I enjoyed the interaction. So one of the bloggers asking if this is a gentleman who is speaking on behalf of Verda de Pisa. I have no knowledge that he has any relation to her or he's speaking on her behalf or anything. I think she's more than capable of speaking on her own behalf, which brings me to an interesting point that when we come back to the program, we need to start thinking about the fact that we're at 2 years past the LP's election. December will take us to 2.5 years, which is the halfway point. At what point do we begin to ask the Democratic Labour Party, are you ever going to start putting your house in order? Are you ever going to nominate some candidates publicly? So they have some answers to give as well, some questions to answer. Donna Brassat, so I was smiling because one of my, well, you could say my internet, she's certainly not a comrade, have generally political views, was making some comment just now, suggested that instead of listening to me, somebody could really go and roast a breadfruit. So I said, but if you can roast a breadfruit, why not barbecue some pigtails? So if you have better things to do with your time, could as well make it useful and enjoyable. This is Dr. Brass Talks, 434-1790. Remember, you can call us on this number. You can call me on this number. You can also use the chat, 266-IVOB, or you can email me directly at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. And we've been having a relatively interesting program. Certainly, some of the more contentious callers I haven't heard yet this morning. So hopefully the afternoon will pick up a bit and we will be hearing from some of them shortly. So say good afternoon and welcome to the first caller in the afternoon session. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air, 434-1790. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah, I want you to tell me what is meant by these three words. If you could help me with the meaning of these three words.
I hope I can.
Before I get to my question thing. Could you help me what is the meaning of transparency, arguing, and corruption?
I don't know.
What's your thought?
You give me your take on it.
No, my tip is not too well thought out, so I want to get yours.
What's the three words?
My the three words is transparency, mm-hmm, arguing, and corruption.
Transparency, corruption. That was the third one?
Transparent and arguing.
Arguing?
Arguing.
Oh, arrogant. Well, you know, but transparency, you can see through it. Arrogant is that you feel you're more than somebody else. And corruption is, well, obvious corruption. Go ahead. You give me your perspective. I'm listening to you first before I respond.
No, I can move on to my questions because I recognize that I didn't get the full meaning from you anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, what is happening in the Ministry of Agriculture? I recognize this morning a lot was being said about agriculture ministers, the worst ministers, and all type of things.
Okay.
Do you recognize that there was some work done in the Ministry of Agriculture in the last couple of years, which was very uncomfortable? Don't know if you know in government that anything over $100,000 in contract must go to tender. And also, I want you to tell me if what red factory roof was repaired under this government and at what cost it was repaired and if it went out to tender. Are you aware of that?
I'm not aware, sir.
You're not aware.
Mm-hmm.
And can you also tell me if Fort Bend Factory is part of BADMC, which fall under the Ministry of
Agriculture? I believe so, but I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
Unfortunately, a lot of things I'm not really sure about today. Sorry, I can't.
As a political scientist, you're not.
I know, it's disgusting, huh, that there's so many things I don't know that I should know. Maybe I was sleeping too much recently because of the COVID.
So you apparently, could you get your answer for that for me?
I think the program will probably work better if you just came and you gave me your perspective and gave me something to respond. You're asking me all of these questions and I don't know the responses to have. Like, I was not very good in school, clearly. So.
That's why I
So we too, we got problems.
deliver what we might Alexis.
Well, to be Alexis, it's true. Our
next
anger.
Question. Next question.
Sure.
The chickering issue. That's a big topic nowadays.
Yeah, that I know about. I know about chicken wings. You like chicken wings?
Of course.
Wingdings? You like wingdings?
Of course. Hey, it's the poor man food. It's the only thing that you...
But what part of a poor man food is a wingding?
If you buy from the normal...
But if you buy from the normal, then the wingdings? Like, the only place you can get wingdings from is there?
Yeah.
If it don't come from there, is a chicken wing.
Got you. All those private VSA vendors is only.
Mama, them can't sell wingdings. They sell barbecue chicken wings. What's your concern about the chicken wings?
Whatever. I want to know if there's other distributors outside of BADMC. If there's other distributors
for chicken wings? To the best of my knowledge, no.
The only distributor?
To the best of my knowledge, yeah.
I would like you to check it and report on that, because that to my collection that is lost.
So there are other people who are importing and selling chicken wings?
But not necessary. Not necessary at all. BADMC might be importers. But they're not the only distributors.
I'm mixing up the two. I was wrong again. The importers, not the distributors. The other importers or only one importer?
There's only one importer as far as I know.
Great. Okay.
But there's other distributors.
But what is your basic problem with the thing? You have a difficulty with the new arrangement, or you like the new arrangement, which is prohibiting the importation in favor of the sale of local chicken wings, chicken parts?
Anything that depraves the poor black people of Barbados, I against.
The initiative is intended to ensure that the poor black people of Barbados have access to the whole chicken, not just the wing.
At what price?
No, the prices are coming down as well. The prices for the chicken will be reduced over what they normally are. That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
But you prefer to eat a chicken wing than a chicken?
Of course. Of course.
But the chicken is better for you than the chicken wing?
Fair enough.
You can have a lean breast or a lean thigh.
We all love things.
And Dennis laughing. Every time we talk about breast and thigh, Dennis is laughing. I don't understand what is this thing about breast and thigh.
But you wouldn't know about breast and thigh. But,
I might, but be a different breast and a different thigh. I don't eat chicken. I'm a vegetarian, so I wouldn't be. Right. I wouldn't be part of that conversation.
Yeah, but we continue to talk about chicken and other meat prices coming down and all that thing. Even the consumer minister, he went through supermarkets and he run through supermarkets, and he came up with there was no price closure. But then you look, when you go into the supermarket, you recognize that it's something real different to what he's saying. I don't know how he measure how price gouging in supermarket, but it's questionable.
You think there's price gouging?
Of course.
But not on chicken wings?
Not, well, as I said, chicken wings, even if there's price gouging on chicken wings, the point is that the price really the poor man can afford. Because if you go and buy a pack of chicken wings that cost 9 or 14, and you got a family of 5, at least everybody will get two. But if you go and buy a whole chicken for $20 or $16, you only get a party chicken wing.
Yeah, because the problem is that when it's too licorice. Sir, if you buy a whole chicken, you can tell me that a whole chicken is go less far than chicken wings? Sir, the nutritional value in a whole chicken is considerable. The problem is that if you divide a whole chicken in 4 quarters, right? Licorice people, everybody, and eat a quarter. While you give them 2 chicken wings, they will eat the 2 chicken wings that are in front of them. But in the final analysis, when they eat the quarter, they eat it more than if they eat the 2 chicken wings. You're too licorice. But it obviously is licoriceness. That's the problem. This is the root of the problem. You can take that chicken and you can cut it up into more than 4 quarters. You can make a pillow. You know about pillow? Sir?
Of course.
Right. You can make a chicken pilau. You can chop it up and you can make with one chicken and with a half bag of rice, you can make pilau for the whole family for several meals. All you're eating is pilau. A little sugar to brown it. You have your rice, you got your chicken, and you could put in a few vegetables if you feel so inclined. You have pilau, and pilau is good food, good nutritional value, and it's relatively balanced if it has the protein, the starch, and it has a few vegetables in there for good measure, some carrots and so on. So what are you telling me? You can't make a pilau with chicken wings?
Okay, fair enough. I agree.
Right, thank you. I'm happy to hear that you agree with me. The problem is licorice-ness. It's licorice-ness. Learn to eat a whole chicken and make it stretch. In my parents' time, a whole chicken was gold. That would be Sunday meal and more. You know?
I'm glad that you're a vegetarian. Anyhow, let us move on.
And then they said that not only will you have two meals, you have leftovers.
But that's what's going to be happening. But I'm just saying, it can be just leftovers in that couple of months or forever.
So that's the way it would be. I will tell you that my conversion to vegetarianism had a lot to do with the fact that the cost of meat, of chicken, I thought was too high. And I lived in a house with some licorice people, and I find that we would buy a chicken, and in no time at all, it would be gone. So I'm speaking from personal experience here. Vegetarianism created an environment in the house that was more healthy, and we had food most of the time. We had more food because, you know, the consumption went down.
Okay, fair enough. Anyhow, get back to this contract basis.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not true that any contract over $100,000 in government?
I've heard so. I don't know if it's $100,000. It might even be less.
And you must have at least 3 tenders?
I don't know about that part. But what's the concern you have? You believe that there has been something untendered that has gone out?
To be honest, I hear that they poured for the roof that was done recently was over $100,000.
Oh, I didn't know.
It never went out to tender. And I don't know if you could tell me.
But if Porville belongs to a private entity, even if government has substantial interest in that private entity, I don't know if it would be subject to the same rules and regulations. I think the rules and regulations of which we speak relate to central government. But a government entity would have to set their own limits and determinations. And then the other question is that is there more than one vendor that could provide that service? If you were, for example, you wanted to do a political poll in Barbados, it wouldn't make sense putting it out to tender because I only got one person that could do it. Well, I could do it properly. You get my point?
Yeah, of course.
So you won't put that out to tender. We just give it to Cadres one time, right?
But I know.
So we don't know whether there's a special roof that Porville needed. I don't know. I don't know the details.
Yeah. But obviously got millions of contractors.
Yeah, but not all of that can fix a roof. A contractor to build a pig pen. Anybody could do that, or a sheep pen, but not necessarily to put on a roof of that gravity.
So that is the reason that way one particular company is get all the...
I don't know whether that's the case, but I'm just saying, in terms of these rules, you have to be careful. I mean, you have a contract, like, for example, the resurfacing of the airport runway. There's not a lot of people that are in a position to do that. So it's not mixing concrete, really, and spreading it out. It is slightly more technically complicated than that. So invariably, sometimes the financial rules have to be adjusted accordingly. I don't know whether this is what you're talking about, because in this whole conversation, you haven't been very specific. You've thrown out things and, you know, but you ought to be specific sometimes. Yeah. All right, sir, anything else for me? Because we want to take another call.
Yeah, I'm still worrying about why one particular company could come up with the lowest tender, lowest bid to get the Ministry of Agriculture contract.
Somebody is here saying that they were amused by my comment about breast and thigh, and that it's good to see it's a well-rounded show, but I forgot to mention chicken soup. Apparently chicken soup goes even further than the pilau. And apparently chicken soup is more Bajan than the pilau. Pilau is a Trinidadian thing, right? Quite frankly. So the person in the WhatsApp is telling you that you should left out the roof and think about the chicken soup. All right, sir? So we're going to run. Thanks a lot for calling. It was good chatting with you. This is... Grandma, y'all could do that to me. Just write that WhatsApp and got me advertising somebody. All right, down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Vickers.
Hey, Mr. Stricker's Tenantry. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, Mr.
On the subject of chicken and licorice-ness.
Mr. Wickham, you familiar with meeting time?
I am, yes. It's called a susu.
Right, you've been involved in any?
I have, yes, a very short period.
All right, cool. I want to take a look at that with you.
Sure, sure.
But before we go there, Mr. Wickham.
But no, let's go straight. Don't let me, deviate.
No, Mr. Wickham.
You're going straight for oysters today. We ain't stopping off by the garrison.
At the start of the program, a lady called you about her boss told her after 19 months of working to leave his place. Yes, leave his place, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I guess that is the employer, right? He can tell you leave his place. Mm-hmm. But what the employee would be entitled to ever employer tell you to leave his place?
Apparently, those conditions have been satisfied based on the labor laws. The compensation she would have received for the 19 months that she was employed was set against the holiday pay. That information came in after the conversation with her was finished. So the labor office ensured that she got her just desserts. Desserts.
But yeah, Mr. Wickham. I still would like you to look at it because I didn't think that it was fair to the lady.
Why not? What was unfair about what he said?
I'm more confused than anything else.
Yeah, but she was confused, sir.
No,
so she was confused.
You had her more confused. The questions you
explain.
Were asking. She worked for 19 months.
Yeah, precisely.
For the first 12 months, she would have been entitled to 3 weeks vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she didn't get that, and then she had to fight for that.
No, that was not what she said. That's why I told you that she was confused to some extent, and she was also confusing me. Apparently, what she received from the labor office, when she contacted the labor office, was holiday money that was due to her, period. That would have been included in the first and the second year, and it was prorated to also take into consideration the time that she was terminated.
But that's what I'm saying, Mr. Vickham.
But that's what it was explained, because someone who seemed to have known about the case wrote a fairly detailed note and explained that that's what happened.
Okay, Mr. Vickham. Let's leave.
That's why I tell you, let me go straight to Oysters. Let me left out that.
Anyhow.
Because you ain't know nothing about it neither.
But apart from the 3 weeks for the first 12 months,
mm-hmm.
then she would be entitled to 350 second parts for the other 7 months.
Agreed.
Which would be a little over a week and a half.
Yeah.
And also, she will be entitled to in lieu a notice.
All of that she got, sir.
Oh, well, that's all that she got. But that's what I'm saying. It was explained to that, and you explained
the
that.
Problem, the problem is that she was not fully aware of what she received. She received a check, which she said she asked about holiday money, and she got what she believed to be holiday money. What she got was a lot of those other things bundled into it as well, that she believed was just her holiday money. So basically, her responsibility to the labor office is finished with her. She has gotten what the labor office insisted she was to get. The green paper didn't go to National Insurance. It went to the labor office. But she has submitted her claim to the National Insurance office, and they're dealing with her. And apparently, she had a conversation with them this morning. So hopefully, she's now up to date on where she's supposed to be. Apparently, she has had that conversation, and she's up to date in terms of where she's supposed to be.
Okay,
so she is happy, and I'm sorry that you are not.
Has been explained to her, no, she understands.
She's happy, yeah.
Sections, whatever she was interested.
I mean, in all seriousness, Straker, the challenge I think we are having here is that there are too many people like that out there that haven't had the benefit of someone sitting down and explaining to them, look, this is what is happening, this is what you're due, and this is what I'm doing for you. And I don't think that it is that the lady is intellectually compromised or anything. I think it's a simple situation where people just don't know. And they deserve to have someone sit down and explain to them. The challenge that we are having now is that in this environment where there are thousands of claims, there really are not enough people to sit down and go through these details with the average person. And I believe that the average person has a right to have these things explained to them. The challenge is that you can't do that on a touchtone phone. You have to sit down before the person and say, look, this is your claim. You're entitled to X. It's being processed. In 2 months, you're going to get it, or in 2 weeks, or in 2 days. This is how it works. And that is not happening now, and I acknowledge fully that it is something that needs to happen. The challenge, however, is the resources to make it happen.
Well, I am satisfied that she went to the right place when she went to the Labor Department. So if anybody dropped the ball, I would figure that it was them not bringing her up to speed.
But she was brought up to speed, but she didn't understand that she needed to finish with them and go elsewhere.
I mean at the beginning and explain to her what all the categories were. Anyhow, Mr. Wickham, yesterday I had a chat with Mr. Ellis about this force saving. And I explained to him that the civil services already operate with that. There's a portion that this goal covers gratuity. And then saying now that after that talk to him yesterday, then I hear now in the news last night about some meeting term. You know how a meeting term does work, Mr. Wickham?
Mm-hmm.
How it does work?
I give you pit part 1 month, and it's three people, and each of us give $20 to the person in turn, and then everybody will get $60.
Right, Mr. Wickham.
Yeah.
But different people that get turns every week or every month or whenever. Is this how this one going to work?
No, everybody can get a turn later.
Then why you can't just call it a meeting turn?
There's another side to it too, because with a meeting turn, I get $60 when I get my turn, you get $60 when you get your turn, and Dennis will get $60 when he get his turn. In this instance, nobody ain't getting nothing every month, but at the end of it, you're getting, 5%, 15% more. It's 15, Dennis? Yeah, you're getting 15% more than what you put in. That don't happen with the meeting turn neither, because meeting turn is get about what you put in.
Mr. Wickham, it has nothing to do with a meeting turn. Do not piggyback on meeting turn. Find
it's a question of language.
I call it what when I want to call
it. What would you call it, for savings?
Well, they started with that. So
right, for savings, savings has an uncomfortable connotation for a lot of people.
But
right?
It might be the correct.
A salary cut has an unfortunate connotation because after what you guys did to people in 1991, people don't want to hear about salary cuts anymore because you have made a salary cut a dirty word.
Against that. Salary cuts is
right.
off the table.
So what are you going to call it?
But that's what I'm saying. Do not call it a meeting turn. Because it has nothing to do with a meeting turn. A meeting turn means that all of we is going to get a turn, and the key...
But all of we will get a turn. All of we getting a turn at the same time.
Hold a minute, Mr. Wickham. And the key to a meeting turn is that it is voluntarily. You've got a household, and some to join and some don't. You've got to work.
Involuntary meeting turn.
It's going to be voluntary?
Involuntary meeting turn.
But then if you ask, start with involuntary, it can't be meeting turn. All start against it, Mr. Wickham. So keep far from meeting turn.
You know that the meeting turn gave rise to the credit union?
Yes.
Right.
And the SUSU and all different
the
kinds
SUSU,
of things.
The SUSU, right? Same thing. They have all given rise to the credit union. And the point I'm making is that this is now taking the meeting turn in a different direction.
No.
So you get him back after 15 months, after 3 years, you get him back your money, and you're getting it back with interest.
But call it a 3-year credit plan.
But as a turn.
Call it something, whatever you want to call it. Do not call it a meeting turn, because all of you ain't getting a turn each time.
Mm.
We all be going to hold on to the end. And I told them yesterday that people had to put side parts of the salary to gratuity, and lots of them die and didn't get the chance to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't come now to put another one off on them, Mr. Wickham. There's some people that...
What would you prefer as an alternative?
Certain things that could handle it. Let them put... Instead of asking somebody to put 10%, they might be able to put 20 or 25 or whatever. Let it be...
What about the public servants who in 1991 were given an 8% cut?
Mm-hmm.
and dropped down dead before Arthur gave them back the money. We got it back in 99 or 98.
Well, that is why that I don't want me to go back that kind of route, Mr. Ricker.
And they got people that dead before they get back the money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Don't let it happen to nobody.
And when the check come, they got nobody to put the check to because the person dead.
But that is why I'm saying don't let me child on the further. Let me stop that right there. Let me let them volunteer. And I know some that higher up could put more than the 5% somebody can put at the bottom.
No, but it's graded in that way. So people who are receiving more, people who are above $36,000, who are below pay nothing. If you're above $36,000, you pay $0.01, and anything is a $100,000 category, Mr. which is your category that you would be in.
Mr. Wickham, it is you'll not pay, what you're you getting. Pay more. It's not what you're getting.
It's what it's taken.
Some people get it more than the 36, but the whole disposable income tied up already. They cannot take a cut. Sometimes even handle the little increase in gas because that they can't hold back enough money to keep gas for the whole month. So people out to the ball already. That's what we're realizing, that who out to the ball can't get it further. Those that can afford it, let them afford it, and some of them will probably afford more than what you're asking.
But what is your alternative? What's your alternative proposal?
I have no alternative proposal.
But no, but you're going to have an alternative, Strikers. You're going to have an alternative.
I know.
You can't just come and criticize without getting an alternative.
You see, Mr.
Unless you would argue that the government is the government's fault that COVID come.
Mr. Wickham, that is the problem. I just give alternatives and they don't take them.
But remember, give me the alternative now and then you listen.
Remember when we was looking at laying off 2000? I said...
This who, Chris, or you?
I said put it voluntary and it's going to be oversubscribed. If they put it as voluntary now, it's going to be oversubscribed.
What was your advice when Chris had to lay off workers? The one that owner said when sending home a single one. What was your advice then?
Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir.
The past is the past. And I'm saying don't let me go back there. Don't let me go back there. I'm saying
let we have to.
Let us deal with what is before us right now. Right now, the workers have been served the greatest wax blacks in shaves, haircuts, and decapitation. They cannot handle no more. That's all I'm saying.
I think that you need to give an alternative.
Let them volunteer.
Sir, listen. I mean, Strikers, let's be serious here. There are people who are working in the tourism sector that have had their entire livelihood destroyed by a virus that has nothing to do with B or D. Women that work in a minimum wage reality that sell trinkets to people on the beach. People who work in a restaurant and so on. All of their income disappear. Red caps at the airport, gone through. All of these people have had their income disappeared. And they ain't got nobody to blame. There's no one to blame. And that's the reason why I'm asking you. It is not enough to say, yes, a public servant, get a wax palax. All of we not, get a wax palax.
Not a public servant. All of we get the wax palax.
Precisely. So I am saying that if everybody get a lash, the public service will get a lash too. Because it's only lashes sharing, so everybody got to get some.
Remember, Mr. Wickham, they are at their wits end already.
And you're saying to me that vendor who called in on the radio and said that she works selling trinkets to people on the beach, she is not at her wits end? But her income gone through. And what's worse is that the public servant will know that after 15 months, the salary will return to normal. She but does not know when she's going to be able to work again because her job is dependent on people coming
Mr.
to Barbados.
Wickham, their salary might return to normal, but not them. But not them.
So will she return to normal?
I am saying, Mr. Wickham, if they can do it, let it be voluntary.
Like,
I'm saying that
Strikers, if you are saying that I am going to take away a little something from public servants to ensure that maybe she can get a job selling food to somebody at construction sites or something like that. So she could get a little something and they would get a little something less. Do you think that that is worse than saying she take a wax palax, she got to deal with that, the public servant must get all?
Mr. Wickham, All I'm saying, if you can take out a little something from a public servant, let them volunteer it.
But if you make it voluntary, I suspect that you will not get the level of compliance that you need to raise the $100 million that you have to raise.
That is not true. It can be oversubscribed, Mr. Wickham.
You sure of that?
Oversubscribed.
How are you so sure of that?
Yeah, I'm sure about that. Because I know
some people inside there.
I ain't so sure.
Cause I sure like I have people in there that can say, you see me, I like my brand new Suzuki car that I drive in. I do not want to carry it back to the banks. I need all my money. I gotta get my hair do, and I gotta get extensions put on for my hair, and I can't wear a cheap horse here. I got Remy, and I need to get my nail, all them things I can hear. So my point is that if we say to you, you will do all of those things with a certain amount less, and everybody can live, I good with that. Because I understand, unlike you, that this is something that none of us have wished on ourselves, and it is causing tremendous pain at different sectors of society. And Straker, I find that, you know what I have a difficulty with? I find a lot of Dems that are complaining and criticizing and whatnot are not appreciating the fact that at the very lowest levels, there's some serious pain that this thing is causing.
Mr. Wickham,
people are walking about asking for food. When we get to that situation, where did that happen? That has never happened in this country before.
So, Mr. Wickham, we are living through it.
But the point is that if we are living through it, we have to understand that it will require that it not be business as usual. And if it means that I can't enjoy some of the things that I have enjoyed before, then I will have to deal with that. And I will go find a way to do well with less.
But Mr. Wickham, you also got to bear in mind that if you go and the people that working, that down to the bare minimum, down to the bare bones, like I tell you, they too going to be walking about begging for food, even though they're working. Yeah.
And you know what's hard? You know what's hard, Straker? A lot of them people, as I have made this point on this program already, a lot of them people ain't driving stroke for the last 2 months. During the period of the shutdown, every last one of them was paid, and some of them didn't go to work, and they didn't work from home neither. It was home sitting down, watching movies, Netflix series, Sex in the City. All of the editions and getting paid. And nobody was saying nothing about that. But now we're saying to some of those same people, unfortunately, we're going to have to make an incursion into your salary to ensure that the rest of us can get by. You know the people I feel bad for? I feel bad for the doctors and nurses that were on the front line of this thing that are now being told, sorry, y'all have to sacrifice again. I feel bad for them because they actually had to put out a lot more than anyone else. And they were at greater risk than anyone else. They're getting a little bit hurt now. And I mean, there has to be a way that we can find to compensate them and say thanks for what you have done. But ultimately, as a public servant, you have to be treated as any other public servant. But there has to be a way that we can say to them, you're appreciated. And I feel that we should be able to come up with a kind of a solution. But what I find I'm hearing from you is that you ain't coming up with a solution. You're basically just saying, don't take with a salary. Anyhow, I can let you have the final word. You gone? Okay. And I know that he ain't put on the phone in my ear, Dennis. So I would like to believe that he didn't. Because Tricker and I don't go down, so.